irritability and impatience. This is ridiculous. Number seven, lack of submissive attitude. Now follow along, because you have the writ right in front of you there, and you can follow along as you listen to me. Break down each of these points. Lack of submissive attitude. And I believe that the person that put these things together is one of the enemy. You're talking about the enemy infiltrator. I don't care if John MacArthur wrote this. I don't care who wrote it. This stuff is straight out of the pit of hell. I don't know who wrote it. I hope that she lets me know who wrote that piece. Let me go back to my mailbox and see if she wrote me and told me who wrote this piece, because I want to know who wrote this piece. Let's see. Nope. I didn't get anything back from her yet. Nothing yet. So I don't know who wrote this piece. I guess you tell me. Number seven, lack of submissive attitude. Submission is the voluntary placement of oneself under the influence, control, and authority of another. That is not a biblical definition of biblical submission. Person goes on and says, when an individual pledges their submission to you or to another, I've never had an individual pledge their submission to me. If they did that, I'm a cult leader. And if I ever did that, I'm a member of a cult. Yet is critical or argumentative of that authority, then pride is the hidden issue. The test of humility and submission is being able to say yes. No, it is not. Let me give you a good example. I will never submit my life to another man in the clergy. That's why I'm Protestant. I protest. That's what makes the Catholic faith crazy, because they submit themselves to what that dude says in Rome. They got to be out of their minds. Then they submit themselves to what their cardinal says. Then they submit themselves to what the bishop says. Then they submit themselves to what the priest says. Then they submit themselves to what the deacon says. Let's deal with the Protestant church. Now we've made bishops of all these preachers in the Protestant church, and the bishop saying, God told me to build a new house of praise, and you need to submit and give a tithe. I'm going to curse you with a curse that you've never been cursed with. You know what? Now, are you feeling my indignation? I'm just moving on to the next point. I'm not even going to waste my time with number. Oh, wait a minute. It says have to be able to say yes, maintain a positive attitude, and trust God when the decision of your authority goes against your grain or better judgment. Well, I never had a problem with God, because I know what his word says. And I'm submitting to God, but can I share something with you, buddy? Can I share this with you? You not God. So get the Hades out of my face right now. Well, I've always preached like this. I've always been like this. I know some of you are offended. You're offended. Oh, I'd never have him as a pastor. I know you wouldn't. You got your hireling in place there. And you submitting to that clown, and you giving him about $80,000-$120,000 a year. His wife and he and his children are living comfortable. They're just a part of the conspiracy, just like you are. Number eight, not easily corrected. Oh, I remember when the vet fell apart. Huge ministry that I was pastoring. Some of you listening in, you know about that, right? And I remember we had Dr. Laverne and other people try to talk to me. You can ask them. Who is that, Bobby? I forget that young boy's. I had him speak at my youth group when we were in the downtown hotel having a conference. Bobby Scott, that's right. Another graduate of the Master's College. And they all tried to talk with me. Hello, John. I'd like to talk with you. And I said, is that right? About what? well, about what happened at the church. I'm hearing things from some people that went over there. I said, oh, they went over there. Did they? And what have you heard? Well, I hear that you need to repent of your sin. I said, oh. You know what I said to Scott? I said, you surprised me. And he said, what? I said, you surprised me because you're black and you're acting like you don't know black people, man. Come on, man. I said, don't do this to me. I'm your elder. I remember when you was learning the Bible. Now you calling. See, they knew then the conservative black preachers in this city and Los Angeles knew then, don't come at me. Why was I like that? Because I had a mentor, James Billy Stanley. Good old boy from Texas, Baptist preacher, stood alone, built his own church without conference money and made some disciples. To wit, I was one of them. I'm thinking I'm the best disciple he ever had. I recall, after my mentor died, I discovered some things about his life that wasn't, you know, boom, 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 copacetic. And I've discovered some things about my life, even as a pastor, that's boom, boom, boom. It's not very copacetic. Wait a minute, check it out. I'm not finished with this rant yet. And I've discovered some things in everybody else's life that I met, boom, 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 that are not copacetic. And I fully understand what God was doing in my life because I love the babies now. Don't know why God put a love for men in my heart, especially young Christian men. Love these young cats. Boom, boom, boom. And the guys that was trying to, I'm going to get into this, not easily corrected. Look what it says. Every work in life with someone who won't receive any negative, wait, ever work or live. I didn't read that right, did I? Ever work or live with someone who won't receive any negative or corrective feedback? Now, no, I've never worked with anybody like that. As a matter of fact, I don't know anybody like that. And I'll just be so daring to say, I'm not like that. Because I do receive negative and corrective feedback. I do receive it. If you give it to me right, I'll receive it. But if you give it to, see, don't be tricked by the language, Christians. Some of you are being tricked by the language because you don't know what they're saying. Now let's really look at this. And I want to take you, I'm just checking some, okay, good. I'm checking to make sure that I'm still recording. I want to take you through this and I want to ask you something. Have you, the one that's listening to me, just take your time because I'm not in a rush. This may be a 2-hour webcast on this thing right here, man. This thing really stimulate me. Have you ever worked with someone who wouldn't receive any negative or corrective feedback? Well, if you come at that person that knows what they're talking about, has investigated what they're talking about, have the goods on what they're talking about, have been talking about it for years, know that it's, knows what objective truth is, knows what thesis is, knows what their tradition is, knows that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that God never called nobody to speak in tongues and run around the room and to hire a female pastor. Knows it. The next line, they say, this too is pride. No, I'm not even listening to the person that wrote this, KMA. Now, you figure out what that means. Listen, then he says, before he died, a pastor in the East Valley was noted for being easily entreated and able to receive corrective feedback from others. He would thank the person for the negative feedback and commit to pray about it, seek counsel, and get back to the person with what conclusions he came to. He was a role model for many of us. Now, let me share this for you right now to show you that this pastor was a compromiser. Watch this. There was a pastor in East Valley who was noted for being easily entreated and able to receive corrected feedback from others. In other words, he was a compromiser. You can go to him and talk to him, and you could talk to him in such a way that he would even change his thesis if your argument was more conclusive than his. Let me keep reading. He would thank the person for the negative feedback. That means somebody would come to me and say, John, I think that you ought to stop doing webcasts. And I would answer and say, you know, brother, I really thank you for your positive feedback in my life because you're concerned about what's better. You know what? You better get the Hades up out of my office telling me what I should do. See, I'm going to show you how to respond like a man. And that's why most men in this country are feminized. You need a bra or some panties to put on because you don't know how to be a dude. Walking around here thanking somebody for telling you what negatively you ought not to do when God told you to do it. Wait a minute. And then it says that he's committed to pray about it. What in the world am I praying about something when God has already given me the authority to do in the first place? Here, God told me to do the webcast like this, and because you don't like what I'm doing, now you telling me to pray. This person is a compromiser, whoever wrote this piece. Do you get it yet? And then I'm going to seek counsel and get back to the person with what conclusions he came to? Wait a minute. How do you know this fool is even in contact with God? I'm telling you, the joker that wrote this piece is a traitor to the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. You people better listen. You better listen. If this is the last webcast you listen to by PJ, you better listen to me. Listen to this man. When you listen to people like this, these are demon-filled people in the pulpit. This is not Christianity. This is some homosexual kind of dude, a lesbian kind of cleric that's standing up there talking that trash. Next thing you know, they're going to bring a freak and put up in front of you and say, well, I'm committed to pray about it and to seek counsel and to get back to you, man, with what conclusions I've come to because I just want to be a role model for many of you. Let's move on down to number 9. I hope that you are enjoying this webcast. I think it's time for a break, right? Yeah, it's time for a break. Yeah, let's take a break. Oh. Ooh, man, because you know what? Doing this thing can really give you a break and a headache when you see where the church is. And for those that think that I'm guilty and I should take my own medicine, like I said, you know what you can do. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's enough of the break. Back to what I'm doing. Number 9, receiving correction and not changing. This one really grabbed me. This one really grabbed me. And you know what? I'm liking this so much because this is what I'm thinking. I'm going to do a PowerPoint Bible study with this. I got to find out who wrote it, though. And this PowerPoint Bible study will be one of my classic Bible studies that I give when I go and give a Bible study to try to get the minds of the Christian church back. Because whatever devil put this thing out on some kind of Friday devotion, This is nothing but the dialectic. He says that I work with a man who often would receive my correction and say thank you for the feedback, but would never change. This, too, was a form of pride. Now, let me stop right here. If I receive your feedback and say thank you and never change, Do you know what I'm saying about your feedback? It's full of corn syrup. I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to say nothing to you. I can look at you and know that I'm looking at a compromiser. Let me give you an example. Well, no, let me read the rest of it. It says, this too is a form of pride. The individual was placating me and people pleasing me. Ain't that a mess? I'd never do that because I ain't sat here to please you. See, now who's seeking pride? He's so prideful that he thinks somebody would try to people please him. But let me keep reading this, telling me what I wanted to hear, but not really taking the feedback to heart. Man, you know what, dude? I don't want to take your feedback to heart, dude. Come and lock me up, people. Put me in a cage. Strip me butt naked. Let my gray hair grow all out and look crazy. Don't feed me. Let me defecate on myself. Torture me. I'm still going to love you, but I'm not going to go along with your mess. What's the matter with you? I saw the way Christ died. I cannot believe this. Oh, man. His insecurity and fear prevented him from truly changing. How dare you? I know who's insecure. And you ain't fearful of nothing because you following the Antichrist. The Antichrist would take all of these points and use them in the church to submerge the church into human difficulty. I want to know where she got this piece from. I want to know the pastor's name that put this out so I can write him and say, you put me on your list. I would never submit to a cockroach like you. What's the matter with you?